Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to It's Real Talk Radio, NFL Weekly Wrap-Up, Wild Card Weekend Edition. It's a lot of crazy stuff to talk about right now, but before we get into all that, I'm your host, T-Real.
And I'm your co-host, Big Ran.
Big Ran, man, so much action this weekend, man. The big comeback in Indy, I mean, this was an epic weekend of football. I enjoyed this. It was a couple of upsets, at least one upset that we all know was an upset. There was a lot of good action, you know?
Yeah, man, it was, I think by far, I mean, most exciting wild card weekend I've ever watched. And the Colts game just took the show. Every game was exciting. Some not as others, maybe at least one. It was, you know, fair, but yeah, every other game was just, it was crazy.
Hey, man, I got to give your boys their props, man. And so before we get started, I just want to say if you're a sports fan, make sure you check out ultimatesportstalk.com. I'm telling you now, they've got something for everybody. Big Rand, let them know.
Oh, no doubt, man. Y'all can log on to ultimatesportstalk.com. for exciting news and updates on all of the nation's top sports, including NFL, NBA, MLB, NCAA, and much more.
No doubt, man. And with that being said, it is time to get into all the action, man. It's time to get into all the action. Like, I really did enjoy this weekend, man. You know, we are the NFL, the pool that myself and Big Ran were in. You know, Big Ran ended up losing by 4. And so the deal was the loser had to treat the winner to wherever, you know, out somewhere to get some wings to watch the game. So we hit Buffalo Wild Wings. And, you know, it was a 35-minute wait when we got there. But, you know, we eventually got seated. We had to wait a whole 35 minutes. But it was, like, so packed in there. It was crazy. But, you know, we got in there, and Big Ram was a man of his word. And, you know, we ate our wings and watched the game. We watched, I think, that was the Philly and Saints game, I think, Saturday night. That's the game we watched at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, so it was, man. It was cool. It was real good.
Yeah, it was cool. That was my first time at Buffalo Wild Wings. I've never been there before.
Okay, all right. Oh, man.
It was cool. They be packed. I know they over there. Shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings. They getting money. Like, I didn't even know it was like that over there. Like, jam-packed. And I was talking to other people, and everybody was like, every Buffalo Wild Wings they went to, like, it was always like that. If it's a game on, it's packed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. And there was a lot of Philly fans in the building. Big round of my line.
Sure was.
The Philly
every
was
time
in
Philly
the
did
building.
Something.
Shout out to the Philly fans. They represented in Buffalo Wild Wings, man. They was in there repping. I thought it was a Ravens game for a minute. Every time a play happened, everybody, the whole place was erupting.
That was wild.
Yeah, I was like, wow, man, that was crazy. Yeah, definitely. So that first game was Kansas City versus Indianapolis. Now, originally, I wanted Kansas City to win because anybody who knows me knows I'm not a Colts fan. I wanted Kansas City to win, but I didn't think they were going to win. I actually thought the Colts were probably – I probably would have predicted the final score of, like, maybe Colts by 31 and Kansas City like 24, like a win by a touchdown. But shockingly, Kansas City started off on fire and was up at one point 38-10. And at that point, I think a lot of us thought the game was over. Now, Big Ram, without being biased, I know that's your boys, but when that score was 38-10, and you seen the way your boys was playing, honestly speaking, like, did you really think they were going to come back and win, or did you think your boys were going home?
Oh, no, man, no doubt. I thought it was over. I was hoping, at least by halftime, you know, we would come back in the second half. You know, you always have that hope. And then when I saw Andrew Luck first pass after halftime, starting the third quarter with an interception, I said, oh, man, you know, it's just not our time. You know, I was done. I couldn't believe it. It was hard to watch. Boy, am I glad I stayed with it.
I mean, 38-10, I don't even know what happened because it was a lot of stuff. Like, you know, I'm sitting there texting and, you know, we got this big thing. I told y'all Big Ran got like this 78-inch TV or something crazy like that.
Oh,
he had the biggest bowl of popcorn I ever seen, you know. The wife came out and had refreshments, so it was so much stuff going on. I didn't even notice that Indianapolis was, like, coming back. Like, I didn't even notice it was happening until I went and looked at the score. Like, wow, they only down, like, one touchdown? Like, it was crazy. Like, it was like, gradually. Like, it just, I didn't even notice it. Next thing I know, I go and look, and Indianapolis then took the lead. I'm like, what? Like, it was crazy. Like, it was crazy. I didn't even notice it until it really happened. Like, or, like, till it was, like, one score away from, like, being tied. Like what was the last play that gave Indianapolis the lead? Was it a touchdown or a field goal?
I think it was that big pass to T.Y. Hilton, I believe.
Oh my goodness!
He was wide open.
He lit them up. Let's talk about T.Y. Hilton. 13 catches, 224 yards. And two touchdowns. I mean, he almost single-handedly kept the Colts in the game. And after, like you said, I think he caught that big touchdown to like give them the lead. I got to give him a hand clap for that. I mean, the man deserves it, man. I'm sorry, like he balled out. I mean, that's balling. That's putting your team on your shoulders and saying, you know what, we not losing. We ain't going home. We home, but we ain't going home. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he played lights out. That was like a Jerry Rice-like performance. That was definitely Jerry Rice-like. That's Jerry Rice. That's T.O. in his prime. Randy Moss in his prime. I mean, but to do that when your team – usually people have big games when their team dominates. Like, their team was getting dominated, and he kept his head in the game and made big play after big play, third down and 12. Who catches the ball? No one other than T.Y. Hilton. Every time he needed to play, it was Hilton again. Every time. And I'm sitting there like, are you kidding me? And I was like, at one point I go and look, and I see that the Colts have almost completed the comeback. I'm like, stop him. What are y'all doing? I'm like yelling at the screen. Not that I'm a huge Kansas City fan, but I'm not a Colts fan, so I really just wanted them to lose, and it didn't happen, man. I mean, Andrew Luck. Oh man, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know if you noticed over that turning point, the whole game was when Robert Mathis, the NFL leader in sacks this year, he got that strip fumble, man. It's like right there when that happened, and they got the ball back. He just got
all the momentum swung.
Life, man. We win them, and they went off there.
And, I mean, it was up 30. They was down 38-10 and won 45-44. So they only allowed Kansas City to score 6 points after that.
Yeah, crazy.
And they scored 35 points. Scored them 35-6.
Unreal, man.
Wow. And now remember, Big Ram, remember when I was saying the Indy defense is underrated? Now, they had a very, very poor start. They gave up big plays. Shout out to Alex Smith. Alex Smith, he balled out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they kind of locked him up in the fourth quarter, but he was balling out of control. You know,
yeah,
so he did his part. You can't be mad. Chiefs fans can't be mad at Alex Smith for his performance. Like, I mean, he really balled out of control. He did his thing. But Andrew Luck, though, man, I mean, I was like, wow. Colts fans are not missing Peyton Manning right now, I tell you that much. I mean, like, you know, they appreciate what Peyton Manning has done, but they all right right now. They good. They're not complaining. They're not like, oh, Peyton, we miss you. We need you. Like, they good. Like, I mean, keep in mind, Andrew Luck, this is this young man's second season to put up the type of numbers that he puts up, especially in the playoffs, is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. I got to give a man his credit, man. I mean, 29 for 45, 400. Now, 29 for 45, that's 16 incompletions, but 443 passing yards and 4 touchdowns. Now, I didn't realize he had 3 picks. I forgot all about that. I guess I blocked it out of my head once Kansas City won. I mean, once Kansas City lost, I think I blocked that out of my head, but He had 3 picks, but that was, like, in the beginning. Like, he was struggling. That's right. I forgot all about those picks he threw. But to come back, now, that's how you're so poised. To come back, I mean, you know he balled out of control. 3 picks, 16 incompletions, and still had a passer rating of 98.7. So you know he must have balled out. You know he must have made some big plays to make up for those 3 interceptions and those 16 incompletions. With 29 completions, 443 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and a passer rating of 98.7. How would you rate Andrew Luck's performance overall, Big Ram?
Brilliant, man. Overall, it was just brilliant, and especially to be so young, like you said, only a second year in the league, in the playoffs, all this stuff going on around him, and he's throwing picks, and at the same time, he's blocking those picks out of his mind, not, you know, dwelling on them and just going out there and not giving up. 3 picks and still go out there and throw 4 touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown on that fumble that went.
Oh, I forgot. He sure did. That was so big because if Ken, all of those big plays that happened, like that touchdown pass that Alex Smith missed in the fourth quarter, when I forgot who that was wide open. Remember Big Ram, he was watching, he was wide open. It was a guaranteed touchdown, but the passes didn't connect. And the Chiefs ended up having to, like, punt or something. I think they ended up having to punt, but that was a guaranteed touchdown. They were still up by, like, they were still up when that pass missed. And that was, like, really that once that happened and the Colts got the ball back again, we pretty much felt what was about to happen at that point. You could just feel greatness just erupting in the building. Like, you could just feel it. You can feel it in the air.
Like,
it was like Phil Collins, man. You could just feel it, man. Like, it just was there. Like, you knew what was about to happen. T.Y. Hill and Andrew Luck, coach defense in the second half, came together and put together an epic performance for one of the best. I think it's the second greatest comeback in playoff history. The first was a 32-point lead. And what they say, that was the Bills. I know the Bills was involved in it.
Yeah.
Who was they going
Bills
against?
And the Oilers or something, bro.
The Oilers, yeah. The Bills and the Oilers. And the Bills were the ones that came back, but, you know, we all know when the Bills lost those four straight Super Bowls. So I'm sure Bills fans blocked that comeback out of their memory to, like, know you lost all those Super Bowls. That's crazy. But that was a great comeback. That was, man, one of the greatest as far as all of my years of watching the playoffs, I want to say – that's definitely the greatest comeback I've seen in my years of watching football in the playoffs. Considering what it meant to the team, I mean, it's window go home, it's the playoffs. If it's any time to come back with an epic performance, it's the playoffs. And the Colts did that. So that's, as far as my experiences in watching football, that's the greatest comeback I've seen considering what was at stake. I've seen, like, you know, the Colts come back 17 points down in the fourth quarter. You remember that, Big Ryan?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you remember all the Colts games. You bleed blue, so
believe
I remember that. But and you know what? I just got to say, Alex Smith did his thing, though, man. I mean, 30 of 46, he also had 16 incompletions, but he had 4 touchdowns with no interceptions and a passer rating of 119.7. So Alex Smith outplayed Andrew Luck, except considering the fact that Andrew Luck threw for more yards. But I would take the 378 yards and 4 touchdowns with no interceptions versus 443 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and 3 picks, because those 3 picks took away 3 opportunities. So, but the difference is Andrew Luck played good when it counted the most, the third and the fourth quarter, especially the fourth quarter, and Alex Smith played good like first through the third quarter. So that fourth quarter is what determines champions. And the Colts, then we got to keep in mind that Kansas City's starting star running back got injured. And, I mean, that's very significant because, you know, without your star back, I mean, I think that you can say if, what if, now, because you never know, because we didn't get to see, like, if he would have played in the full game. But do you think if Kansas City's star running back would have stayed in the game, Big Ryan, that they would have won?
Like I said, you could say could have, would have, should have. Who knows? I mean, even with him out, his replacement, Davis, I mean, he still
was balling,
going pretty
he?
Good. You know, 18 carries for 67 yards. And Alex Smith, along with his passing, he also had 8 rushes for 57, man. Alex Smith really did his thing. I saw a lot. Definitely didn't look like the Alex Smith of 49er days. He really showed he's a quarterback and he belongs. But, I mean, who knows, man? If the running back was in the game, who knows what would have happened.
I mean,
but
Jamar Charles is, like, the top running back in the league right now. I mean, his ability to catch screen plays, screen passes, and turn them into big gains, and his ability to break off big runs. He's not a big back, but he's very explosive. He's powerful for a small guy. I mean, losing him, I think, had some significance. But, you know, greatness was in the building in that second half. So who's to say that they would have won? But I think they would have won. But, you know, it's kind of I'm not going to use that as an excuse, because that would be doing the Colts a disservice, because that was a great comeback. You got to give them credit. And, you know, we're going to bring Mr. Dano on and get his opinion, because I think he has something to – he has an issue with Andy Reid. So, Mr. Dano, you're live on NFL Weekly Wrap-Up Wild Card Weekend. Welcome back to the show. Always good to have you. And I know you got some words for Andy Reid, Mr. Dano.
The game was a good game. It was a good game. And the Kansas City Chiefs shouldn't have lost their game. There's no way in the world you go at halftime and you win in 38-10 and you lose the game. Andy Reid waited to call times out. Didn't call no timeout. Didn't try to get the team together. He waited. And then he was forced to call his last 2 times out. If I was the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, after this game, he don't deserve to be coach of the year. And I will wish him well in his development elsewhere, because I would fire Andy Reid.
Wow.
It's his fault he came to the loss of game. I fought him. He's the same Andy Reid that was with the Philadelphia Eagles, and it wasn't the Philadelphia Eagles. Now I know it was him. I'm so done with that man. He don't deserve to be no coach. He's the same losing coach he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's just with a team with a different color. He's a loser, and I will get rid of him.
Wow, Big Ryan.
Damn, did Andy Reid cut you off in traffic, Mr. Dano, or something? Why are you mad at
this? Because it's his fault. It's really his fault. I ain't taking nothing from the coach, and the coach did a good job.
I hear you, though. I hear you.
He should have called. He didn't try to get the team together. Once they came back and had 28-38, he should have called times out, talked to the team. He did not do that. And he waited and waited. And then he was forced to use his last two timeouts. And he's supposed to be the coach of the team.
Remember that thing we kept saying, how come?
There's no way in the world that the Kansas City Chiefs should have lost that game like that.
And then the how they kept using the timeouts.
And another thing, the disappointment about the Kansas City Chiefs, how the coach fumbled the ball, the guy on the coach's team fumbled the ball, and they let the quarterback get the ball and jump over them and get a touchdown. See?
I think everybody was caught off guard. Like, that fumble, nobody was expecting it. All of a sudden, the ball on the ground. And before you could even analyze what just happened, Andrew Luck is diving over the end zone for a touchdown. You know
what I'm saying?
In all fairness to Andy Reid, he took a 2-14 team to 11-5 team, 9-win increase. I think he still deserves Coach of the Year myself, personally. I think he still deserves Coach of the Year. But, because I don't think you can, like what happens in the playoffs, you can't use that as judging the Coach of the Year. The Coach of the Year is from weeks 1 through 17. You know, so I think he deserves Coach of the Year still. I wouldn't even say that would happen. I mean, the players are still on the field. They still got to play defense. Sometimes it's mental errors and safety. Like that pass to Hilton Court, where was the safety at? Like, I'm sure, you know, you got – the coaches get a lot of heat for when things go wrong. Like, the safety needs to be in his position. There's no way with the Colts making this tremendous comeback that the safety should have had Hilton that open. But it's all mental, and I think they just had a mental collapse, the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Colts got their confidence, and the Chiefs started to lose their confidence. The Chiefs' defense, when they was giving up big plays, they started making mental errors. It caused the game. I think you got to look at the not really Andy Reid so much. I mean, yeah, him because he's the coach, but what about the defensive coordinator? Like, get your defense together. The Chiefs have been giving up so many big plays to the good teams. Every time they when they played the Chargers, Big Grand, you remember that? And they gave up that big touchdown pass, and the Chargers won in Kansas City.
Yeah, the Chargers won. Yeah.
Yeah, he's given up big plays for lots of yards and lots of points. You know, another game where the Chiefs' defense gives up 40 points and they had them 38-10. What is going on with that defense? I don't even think – I'm not even sure if Andy Reid calls the defensive plays. You know, look at the – you got to research that defensive coordinator and see what went wrong with his scheme.
Yeah, I understand that, and I understand what you're saying, but he – The listener, yes, is partly the defense coordinator for, but Andy Reid is the coach. He should have got on the district. He should have went. He should have talked to all of them, pulled all of them together, and got on it. From the defense coordinator, and got on all of them, said, "Look, we can't lose this game." He didn't do that. He just stood there and let them lose the game. It still fall on him, but he leads. It's only one.
Well, we know where Mr. Daniel stands at. Mr. Daniel holds the majority of the blame on the coach. And, I mean, that's definitely, you know, your right to your opinion, you know, Mr. Daniel. Big Rand, I'm wondering if you agree with Mr. Daniel. Like, who do you place the blame on for this big comeback? Who would you give the majority of the blame? Because, you know, everybody got to take a portion, but who would you give the majority of the blame to Big Rand?
If Mr. Daniel's stance was just poor coaching overall, including Andy Reid, including the defensive coordinator. If he was saying that, then I would agree. I think the Colts outcoached the Kansas City Chiefs coaches as far as the
in that second half. I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Those leg games, using those timeouts and stuff. Remember, he kept saying, "What they used another timeout."
Yeah, I was like, "Why did they use a timeout?" They had one timeout left in the fourth quarter. They only had one timeout left.
Yeah, so definitely the defensive coordinator, whatever defense he was calling. But then, much props to the Colts' offensive coordinator, because whatever he was calling, whether they were setting up some kind of screen,
I know he was calling Hilton go deep, Andrew Luck threw it up. That's what he was calling.
Was open,
go and go
he
deep.
Was open on, he was open on deep routes. He was open on slants. He was open every time. They couldn't
slant,
stop him.
Post.
They couldn't stop him.
It don't matter what it was. Like, he was just open. Like you said, like, just a brilliant performance for the Colts, man. So, you know, much props to the Colts for putting together an epic comeback, and now they're going to have to go and face your boys, Big Ram. Now, how do you think that's going to play out? Your boys against your boy. Are you bleeding blue or are you bleeding Peyton Manning? Which one? Which one are you going to be bleeding?
No, sir. I bleed blue, Tate, but Colts have to play the Patriots.
All right, yeah, you're right, they do.
You know, I'm definitely bleeding blue, man. It's going to be another Colts-Patriots showdown. I hope and pray that we don't fall into the same holes we did versus the Kansas City Chiefs, because we cannot give the New England Patriots and Tom Brady a 38-10 lead come halftime and expect to win the game.
Definitely not.
I don't see,
of a coach, and definitely not. I would definitely agree. Belichick is just too good of a coach. He's just not going to let his team. I don't think he's going to let his team collapse like that, definitely. What about the Saints and Philadelphia Eagles, that game that we had the pleasure of watching at Buffalo Wild Wings? What about that game? How you guys feel about that game?
I was shocked, man. As high-powered an offense as the Philadelphia Eagles and Chip Kelly has, I just knew they would beat New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints team that doesn't play so well on the road, especially in the weather conditions. It didn't look to be that cold, but I'm sure it was cold. I was shocked to see New Orleans Saints pull off that victory, man. Unbelievable.
I mean, the Saints definitely, they definitely did their thing. They shocked a lot of people. I mean, I told you, my heart was with the Saints because I'm a big Drew Brees fan. But, like, I thought the Eagles were going to win. And I thought they were going to, I'm not going to say easily, but I thought they were, I was pretty convinced that they would probably win by a touchdown, maybe even 10 points. I probably would have gave them a 10-point advantage.
Okay.
And, the Saints, who weren't very good on the road this year, only 3-5 on the road. They had a losing record on the road, but they were 8-0 at home, but they're only 3-5 on the road, so we all know the Saints are a home team. And they're also a dome team. They're not playing at home. They're not playing in a dome. And they shock everybody. They come out in the cold and beat the Eagles at home, who the Eagles have been playing very well as of late. So it's not even like the Eagles have been struggling. Mr. Daniel, were you surprised? I mean, the Eagles were 4-1 in their last five games. They won four of their last five games. That's 80%.
It was a good game, but Drew Brees, I already know Drew Brees is going to step his game up. So I kind of figured the Saints was going to march in on Philadelphia Eagles, and go, like the song says, when the Saints go marching in, that's what the Saints did. They marched in on the Philadelphia Eagles and marched in on them and took care of business.
Really, that's the good that, man.
I mean, get this, y'all. You know, Nick Foles has had one of the highest quarterback ratings in the league this year. The man has been insane, considering he wasn't even originally the starting quarterback. And he's been lighting up the scoreboards. Games with 300, 400 passing yards, 3-4 touchdowns, no picks.
No.
I don't know how many games he went without throwing the pick. He had like almost 20 touchdowns. What did he have, 19 touchdowns before he threw his first pick, Big Ram?
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
The man's been balling out of control, but get this. 23 for 33, only 195 yards out of 23 completions. Two touchdown passes, but only 195 yards. Still had a passer rating of 105. But because he didn't throw any interceptions, but only 195 passing yards, two touchdowns, And the Eagles still almost won, but the Saints got the game-winning field goal. You know, Drew Brees. Just Drew Brees, I wouldn't say Drew Brees was amazing or anything, but he did enough for his team to get the win, and that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 for 30, 250 passing yards, only one touchdown pass, actually two picks. So that's actually more of one of Drew Brees' rougher games. I mean, 20 of 30, 250 yards, only one touchdown pass. In the playoffs with everything on the line, two picks, passer rating of only 75. That's actually that's kind of low for Drew Brees. He's always around 100, 100 or better. He's good for it any time. But, you know, you got to credit the Saints' defense for containing the Philadelphia Eagles, not allowing them to light up the scoreboard. You see what Philadelphia did to Chicago. So we know what they're capable of. You got to credit that Saints defense. And I mean Bob Ryan, defensive coordinator, the brother of Rex Ryan, head coach of the Jets. I mean, defense just runs in their blood. Like, when they go to teams, the defense just gets better.
Well, definitely. And I think that's what got them that win, the defense, man. Look at every Philadelphia Eagles. All of them were pretty much shut down. Deshaun Jackson only had, three receptions. 53 yards. Shady McCoy, you know how ball hard he's been going this year. He only had 77 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, out of control, Nick Foles, just like you said, 195 yards. They shut down every impact player the Eagles had. And I think that's how the Saints got the victory.
I stand corrected. I called him Bob Ryan. It's Rob Ryan. I said Bob, Rob Ryan. But yeah, man, he put together a good plan, man. I mean, to be able to keep the Saints, to be able to keep the Eagles contained. I mean, I just gotta give the man credit. You agree, Mr. Daniel, that Saints defense was really the determining factor in the game?
Yeah. Well, it was the defense of the old days.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what it really was. And the Saints, who are known for being an offensive juggernaut, but not really known for defense, they showed that they can play defense. They showed that they can play defense, and they are a playoff worthy team. And this is why we're in the playoffs. This is what we can do. Even if Drew Brees has a rough game, we can step up. And that's what the Saints would need. The only way the Saints are going to get to the next level is if that defense steps up. Because the NFL, we all know, is a pass-friendly league. Like, that's what it's all about. Deep passes. A lot of the calls go in favor of the offense and the receivers and the quarterback. So it's not like back in the day, but you can get away with all that, you know, late hits and trying to take people's heads off when they go up for the ball. It's a lot harder to play solid defense and not get penalized the whole game. And so that's how a team shows integrity and shows that they're a great team by being able to put together seriously, y'all, like, any team that can put together a great defensive plan and stop a team that's known for great offense, I give them all the credit in the world. So shout out to the Saints defense. The Eagles still, you know, they definitely had a chance to win. They just fell short. I don't think it's any reason for the Eagles to be ashamed or, you know, disappointed, but not ashamed. Eagles fans, you got to, you know, be proud of your team. They were that close. They played a good game. They just couldn't finish it out. And, I mean, Chip Kelly definitely should be a Coach of the Year candidate. I honestly think Andy Reid should get it, but if Chip Kelly gets it, I would not be disappointed. I wouldn't even object to it, really. I think that he's a definitely good candidate.
He's definitely a good candidate. Like you said, I think Andy Reid won't get it. Just, you know, the performance that he did for the Kansas City Chiefs. Good candidate Chip Kelly would be. What other good candidates would you think would be for Coach of the Year?
Bill Belichick. That's my only three. I only got three. You could say Marvin Lewis for what, you know, the Bengals went 11-5. I don't think nobody was expecting that. They won a division over the Ravens in Pittsburgh. I don't think anyone was expecting that. So, you know, you could throw Marvin Lewis in there.
No, I disagree with that one.
You disagree? I mean, he took his He won his division. His team was 11-5 and had one of the top defenses in the league. Once again, you can't go based on the playoffs. You gotta cut the playoffs. Can't play a role in your decision. It gotta be weeks 1 through 17. 8-0 at home. One of the top defenses. I mean, I don't see how he's not a candidate. Mr. Dano, do you think Marvin Lewis, coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, is a worthy candidate for coach of the year, considering how he had the Bengals playing this year?
I don't know. I have to think about that one because I don't care for Cincinnati Bengals. But
that's a bias right there. So he's biased when it comes to the Bengals. That's a division rival right there.
No, I think he'll be coach of the year. Yeah, he deserves it because he did a good job with the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to give him their due. Yeah, he should be coach of the year. I think so.
I've got to strongly disagree with that, man. And it's not like he hasn't done this before. Didn't he win the division maybe a year or two back, Marvin Lewis?
No, the Ravens in Pittsburgh have been dominating that division lately.
That's
always been really the
Ravens.
Cincinnati won a division once. He's been there, like, what? Marvin Lewis has been there, like, 10 years or longer?
11 years.
11 years? I think he won a division, once in those 11 years. I think he only won it once. This is only, like, his second time.
And how many playoff victories does he have?
None. But this is about coach of the year, not coach of the playoffs.
coach of the year, I mean, same thing for Belichick. I mean, Belichick does this every year.
Can we factor in something? His team, his roster. I can't even name the receivers. Gronkowski ain't even played hardly half the games. Who are these people Tom Brady throwing to? No Wes Welker. I can't even hardly name the stars on defense. Wilfrick out for the year. Tlaib and Wilfrick, they're the two people I can name on defense that's solid. Everybody else is injured or I don't know them. I mean, like, and he still won his division and got them in double-digit wins for the year, got the number two seed, a first-round bye. How is this man not eligible for Coach of the Year?
Because this is expected. That's what Belichick does. Now, out of all the coaches we've named so far, I haven't heard Jake Fox's name as Coach of the Year, and he's been 13-3 2 years in a row. Number one seed 2 years in a row. It's all Peyton Manning. Same thing with Belichick and the Patriots. It's all Tom Brady. Belichick is his own to these wide receivers. Brady is.
I mean, I respect your opinion. We can agree to disagree. But speaking of the Bengals, what about their performance? I mean, they've been I was standing at home averaging, 38 points at home? And they put up 10 points in their home playoff opener, put up 10 points against the 9-7 San Diego Chargers, who they beat not even that long ago before the playoffs. The Bengals beat the Chargers. I think they beat them in San Diego, didn't they?
San Diego?
Yeah, I know the Bengals played San Diego. I think they beat them in San Diego. And San Diego comes to Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, Cincinnati.
And absolutely dominates the Cincinnati Bengals, a final score of 27-10. Let's talk about that. Mr. Dano, your thoughts on that game? I know you were happy with the outcome, but like, what's your thoughts on the game?
I was glad the Chargers won. It was a good game, and I was glad the Chargers took care of business. I think the Chargers, I knew the Chargers was coming there to play. They was coming. They weren't going to play around with the Bengals. They came here to win, and that's what they did.
Big Ryan?
They definitely did that. It's tough, man. I mean, shout out to the Bengals, whatever they did this year. But I don't know, man. They let the Chargers come in there and just straight take over. And the craziest thing about it is nobody on the Chargers side had like a wonderful, one of the greatest performances ever. I mean, look at the numbers Phillip Rivers has, man. It's like a high school game. 12 completions, 16 attempts, 128 yards, one touchdown. And they beat them 27-10.
They fell apart in that last one.
It was all defense.
That last game, when they had the ball, and they just let the San Diego Chargers let that guy run 50 yards straight through the middle. That's straight through him. Ran all the way to the touchdown.
All defense from the Chargers.
He just ran all top of them. I tell you what happened. Chargers went to San Diego and punched the Bengals in the mouth. That's what happened. They got punched in the mouth.
Yes. Because I'm looking, y'all, and I was right. Cincinnati went to San Diego in week 13 and won 17-10. So, I mean, Cincinnati has not put up – they didn't put up really points against the Chargers in San Diego, and then they couldn't put up points against San Diego and Cincy. So, apparently, the Chargers' defense has had the one up on the Cincinnati Bengals' offense, or at least on Andy Dalton, at least on him. I mean – Let's just really get down to the nitty-gritty, guys. What really happened? Like, you know, I think Cincinnati was definitely favored to win. I think Cincinnati was definitely a favorite. Like, I would have bet my money on Cincy. I'm not going to lie. Big Ran, I'm sure you would have picked Cincy, right? If you had to bet money, you would have bet it on Cincy, right? At home, where they 8-0.
I sure would have.
Remember, Big Ran, well, at week 17, I was saying Cincy, the Chargers might get ran out the building. I said, I know Phillip Rivers is outstanding, like he's underrated, but like they might get ran out the building. And Phillip Rivers wasn't even amazing. Like you said, only 128 passing yards, one touchdown pass, but he just did enough. Like he did what he needed to do to win the game. Like he just didn't like make mistakes. You know, he hasn't made completions, but he didn't make those mistakes, that those costly mistakes, like you said, like Andy Dalton. You know,
yeah, he
so,
made
I mean,
a lot of mistakes, man. Two interceptions,
yeah.
Fumble,
yeah,
all that in the second half.
Fumble. He was off. He was just off.
Yeah, he was off, man.
Yeah, he was off. Two interceptions and a fumble.
It felt
like he had more than that. He only had two interceptions.
Oh, you would think he had a whole lot more.
It felt like he had like four or five interceptions. I mean, the way the momentum of the game was going, I thought he had more than two interceptions. I mean, it was just rough. And I'm sure Andy Dalton is taking a lot of heat right now from the Cincinnati Bengals nation. Like, I'm pretty sure Cincy fans are ecstatic. I mean, even in that, the way he closed the regular season game, he had like four interceptions in that game against the Ravens, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
I think he had four interceptions. His first pass of the game was an interception. Wow. So in his last two games, in the last game of the year in the playoffs, between those two games, he had six interceptions.
Yep, and who was the first person to give him props and say how great of a quarterback he was, and he's our quarterback for years to come? Marvin Lewis.
Who was it?
Marvin Lewis.
I mean – I'm saying,
so
though, he still,
man?
If you look at his numbers overall, he still had a solid year. I mean, he had like 30 or more touchdown passes. He threw for, I want to say, close to 4,000, if not 4,000. I mean, you got to give man some props. Like, he had a good year numbers-wise. I mean, he just had too many interceptions. I think he had 20 interceptions. He just throws too many interceptions. That's his problem.
He got the butterfingers.
Not going to win, man. You're not going to win. You keep throwing interceptions, man.
He was 29 of 51, 334 passing yards, two touchdowns. I mean, two picks, only one touchdown pass. Wow, yeah, 22 incompletions. 22 incompletions, two picks, only one touchdown pass, and he had a lost fumble too, right?
Yeah,
he had a lost fumble.
Yeah, he had a lost fumble, so. This is a rough week for the Dalton family right now. I'm pretty sure it's quiet dinners, They his family probably trying to, you know, talk about other stuff to get his mind off it. Because that's rock bottom. As a quarterback, you are the leader of your team, and that, you know, stats like that, you know, you obviously know you some you kind of blew it, and it's just like, because the Bengals defense is like, you know, they didn't even like, you see the numbers Phillip Rivers had, so the defense showed up. They had to give up some big plays, but like, it's not like the Chargers lit the scoreboard up, but they got turnovers and they controlled possession of the ball. They made turnovers and timely instances, and like, they just, I don't know, man. Andy Dalton definitely got to take a big part of the responsibility in that loss, because I watched that game and it was just like, man, it's still Andy Dalton. I thought he might was going to like shake off the way he finished the regular season and just play good. Not even great, but good. But that defense is good enough, but it didn't happen since he's gone home.
Yeah. Well, he was already home.
No, I mean, they're going home for good for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, their running back, though, was like, man, he's good, though. Like, he makes some crazy, he really reminds me of Ray Rice. He really reminds me of Ray Rice when Ray Rice plays well. Like, they have a future star, I think. What you think, Big Ryan?
Oh, who are you trying to?
I'm referring
to.
I'm just now getting used to him. Is Bernard?
Yeah, Bernard. Oh yeah,
I only know him from like watching his performance. Giovanni, is that how you pronounce it? Giovanni Bernard, is that his name?
Yeah, Giovanni Bernard. He's a good running back.
He's good, but he's
looking at his numbers
now.
695 yards in the season. I thought he had more than that. I'm sitting here looking like, is that the right person? I know I've seen a lot of explosive plays, and I'm not familiar with the Bengals running backs. Is that their start? Their starting running back, Bernard? If that's him, then that's the guy I'm talking
him,
about.
I thought they had the other guy, Green Ellis, but they both get quite the same amount of time.
No, it's not Green Ellis. It's him. He makes some explosive plays. Like he's going to be definitely a solid player. I'm really confident that he's going to be a solid player. I've seen him make some crazy plays, you know, and I think that he's going to get a lot more opportunities next year. I think he'll do well, you know. But all you can really do is credit the San Diego defense showing up, the underdogs. They made it happen, and they didn't put it, just like the Saints defense made it happen, they didn't put it all on Phillip Rivers. And, you know, the Chargers could very well end up being a scary team, like, in the playoffs. Like, because to see what they did in Cincy where they were undefeated, and they already beat Denver once. I mean, they beat Denver once. Peyton Manning has been known to have his battles with the San Diego Chargers, and the San Diego Chargers have been known to play Peyton Manning well. And they've continued to do so. I mean, I think last year Peyton Manning swept them, but this year they split, and now San Diego, Peyton Manning, listen, if Peyton Manning is still having nightmares from Indianapolis, where he lost to them twice, I think, in the playoffs, and a few times in the regular season. If Peyton Manning, he split the season record with him this year. If Peyton Manning loses to the Chargers again, that's going to haunt him forever. Like, he cannot lose it, like, because they are the one team that, between the Chargers and the Patriots, those are the two teams that has really had his number throughout the years, in my opinion.
Yeah, they definitely have. But I think the thing about Peyton Manning, and this has nothing to do with no bias, it seems like when Peyton Manning loses to a team, and that's like the last time he gets to play them until hopefully he gets to play them again, he comes back on fire, man. So I think it would be dangerous, a dangerous Peyton Manning. And how do you think he felt when the Ravens beat the Broncos and he ends the game on an interception? How do you think he felt having to wait all the way up until next season to get a chance to play them again?
Exactly.
All that stuff built up inside. And do you see what he does? First game of the season, he goes crazy. Last time he played the Chargers.
Exactly. But the Chargers are division rivals. They know Denver. Division rival games are different from regular games. You play each other twice a year. You know each other's systems. You know each other well. They know each other well. They split the singles. They split the regular season. They both won at each other's homes. San Diego won in Denver. Denver won in San Diego. San Diego has already shown that they can win in Denver. They've done it already. That was very good for their psyche, I think, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's crazy, Big Ram, because, you know, like, I was so in my mind, right, Kansas City had won that game. So, you know, I noticed I said Kansas I thought Kansas City was really going to win that game against the Colts. And it just threw me completely off. Next thing you know, I'm saying the Colts in Denver, I just got completely thrown off. But San Diego is going to be, I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think it's going to be an interesting game, and I wouldn't count the Chargers out. What about you, Mr. Dano? Would you count, do you think the Chargers are going to get blown out, or do you think it's going to be a close game? Or do you think the Chargers might actually even win?
I think it's going to be a close game, and I think it's going to come down to who's going to step up. I think it's going to be a battle.
Fourth quarter, somebody's going to have a game-winning drive.
And I think
will it be Denver or San Diego is the question. If it comes down to fourth quarter, who makes the game-winning drive, Peyton Manning or Phillip Rivers? Keep in mind, they both split the regular season, so Denver lit the scoreboards up. But they split the regular season, so I don't think you could really give anybody too much of an advantage, though you probably would give the advantage to Denver. Look at the way the Chargers have been playing. Look at what they had to do to get into the playoffs. Look at all the things that had to go right and all the games that were must-wins for them. At one point, their odds were like only 5%, and they got to the playoffs, and they dominated Cincinnati at home. So
if the Chargers can contain Peyton Manning, they got a good chance of winning. They got to contain Peyton Manning.
Oh, they got a great chance of winning. Phillip Rivers plays great. They got a great chance of winning. And I just knew since he was going to win that game. Like, that was the biggest favorite out of all the games. So in my mind, it was already going to be the Colts at Denver and Cincy at New England, in my mind. But it didn't happen that way. And, you know, I just credit the defense of the Chargers. Which brings us to our last game, which was the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. I love that game. That game was great. The Chargers have dominated the Packers as of lately. They beat them last year in the playoffs, and I think in the regular season. And they beat them this year in the regular season. Was that like week one? I don't know if it was week one, but they definitely beat them in the regular season. And now they beat them in the playoffs again. So they got like four straight wins on Green Bay. And
Green Bay couldn't contain the quarterback.
That's exactly right.
That's really what it was, and he's not even necessarily beating him with his arm. I mean, a little bit with his arm, but more so on the ground. I mean, because he killed him last year. He set that record, the most rushing yards by a quarterback in playoff history.
That guy messed up because he should have stayed where he was at. He gonna start trying to flush him. If he would have stayed where he at, Cam Newton would have been able to run, but he couldn't contain him.
You mean Cam
pushed up on him?
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry, wrong quarterback.
Yeah, they're actually getting ready for Cam Newton. That's what they're getting ready for. That's what they're about to face.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But a 49ers quarterback, they got out in the paint trying to press him. And once he did that, he shook him and got loose and got the first down. If he would have stayed where he was at, he would have had him contained. He wouldn't have got that first down. And Green Bay might have had a chance to win.
He did it time and time and time again. He just kept
especially that game-winning drive, y'all. Like, that game-winning drive was crazy. Like, them last couple of scrambles he had, and you already knew about the run. I think everybody in the building, like, he's going to run. But, I mean, what can you do? Like, there's not a defense, like, you can really call for that. If the pass rush doesn't get there in time and he gets to the outside. He's too fast. He's faster than the linebackers. Physically, you're outmatched. If someone is faster than you, that's just raw speed. All the planning in the world can't stop someone getting – if he's running to the sideline, right, and the linebacker's running to the sideline, he's faster. Boom, he gets to that sideline. He cut up. The linebacker's too far away to push him out of bounds or catch up and tackle him. It's going to be a big game, you know. Yeah. And if somebody's just faster than you, natural speed, I mean, what can you really do? And, you know, he's quick. Like, he can cut. He kind of runs like almost like a running back. Like, he just – he's a total package, man. He shows that he can throw. He can throw the ball. He threw for 400 yards on – I think that was Green Bay he threw for 400 yards on in the beginning of when he played the Green Bay in the regular season. So, I mean, he's shown that he can beat you with his arm, too. What do you really do? How do you game plan against that? You got to stop one. The scrambling or the passing? He's got great receivers, so you can't sleep on them.
Carolina Panthers got to contain one. If they don't contain him, he's going to eat him up.
That was tough, man.
All I can say is good luck.
Seven rushes for 98 yards.
Seven rushes for 98 yards. He's actually leading the playoffs. He's the top rusher in the playoffs. The quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, he's the top rusher in the playoffs. How crazy is that, right?
Yeah.
Wow, man.
The two dangerous teams, right? The two most dangerous teams, I think, is the 49ers and the Colts. The Colts is somebody done woke the sleeping giant up in the Colts, and everybody better watch out because the Colts ain't no joke. After what they did, they done woke a giant up.
Seven rushes, 98 yards, Big Ryan. You're right. That is so crazy. I mean, 16 for 30, 227 passing yards. I mean, you put 227 passing yards with 98 yards, you pretty much got just about 330 yards of total offense from your quarterback. You know, and that game-winning drive was – and, I mean, he got sat three times. So the Green Bay defense definitely played him better than they have been playing them. Usually, this was like their best performance against them out of all those losses. Our game was close, and it came down to the wire. And that game-winning drive by Kaepernick was brilliant. He did what he had to do for his team to win. And the 49ers are definitely a sleeping giant that you don't want to waken. And I think they've already been awoken. Did you guys see the Nature Boy Ric Flair talk to the 49ers locker room? Did y'all see that online?
Yeah, that was crazy. I can't believe
it.
You ain't seen that, Mr. Dano? You ain't seen that Nation Boy talking to the boy? You gotta go online. It was funny. And you know what he had to do. He had the whole locker room saying it. All of the 49ers, everybody was saying it was classic. It was epic. Like, it was so funny. And, like, he gave him a talk. He let them know, like, he's from, because, you know, he's from North Carolina. But he's rocking with the 49ers. He let them know, like, I'm rocking with y'all. I was like, wow. He's picking against his home team.
That's unbelievable.
So he was with the 49ers and the North Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, he's from North Carolina, but he's going for the 49ers. He said his heart is with the Niners. That's what he said. That's what he told the locker room on film. And, he's a 49ers
from
fan,
North Carolina.
So. Yeah, he is.
Yep,
so
he's from Charlotte.
He's from Greenboro, North Carolina.
I mean, but not to take away nothing from Aaron Rodgers. I thought that he really played good enough to really give his team a chance. You know, I mean, they were right there. I was surprised at how many people were picking the Green Bay Packers to actually win the game. I was surprised. I mean, Aaron Rodgers only threw for 177 yards and a touchdown. That's light for Aaron Rodgers. But, like, he just made plays. Sometimes it ain't always about the numbers. It's about the timely plays. He made timely plays that really kept them in the game. It ain't always about the stats. As long as you don't really turn the ball over, as long as you don't lose the game for your team. You know what I mean? Same for 177 passing yards, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked four times. Still had a passer rating of 97.8. Anything at 100 or close to 100 is good. It's not great, but it's good. You know, you want to be 90 or better every game. And, I mean, it just, you know, they just couldn't get the job done. It's like the 49ers just had that number. You know, certain teams got certain teams' numbers, and it's like the 49ers had the Packers' number. This, if it was any time, now was the time. In the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers just came back, just had that epic performance to eliminate Chicago and for them to get into the playoffs, win the division, get a home game against what's starting to be a rival, even though it's not a division rival. It's starting to become a rivalry because they, you know, keep meeting up. And they had a chance to pay the 49ers back from last year in the playoffs, but they just couldn't get it done, man. The 49ers are very well coached. The Harbaugh brothers are brilliant. Two of the best coaches in the league. Obviously, the Niners have a better roster this year, and it shows. And, I mean, the Niners are on their way to Carolina to face the Panthers, so it's going to be interesting. Who are you guys picking for that game?
Oh, wow.
I love Rick Flair, but I'm going with Carolina Panthers. I'm sorry. They beat my boys. They beat Green Bay. I can't go for the 49ers.
I would want the 49ers to win. I actually like the 49ers. You know, Anquan Boldin is my boy. Crabtree is brilliant too. On 125 receiving yards, he's a big part. He made some big plays, and him coming back has changed that offense. But wow, they held Jordy Nelson to 62 passing yards. Now tell me that's not defense. I just now noticed that. Goodness gracious. He's outstanding, Jordy Nelson. You hold him to 62 passing yards. Your defense shows up for real.
That's why I just go to the guy right there.
Exactly. I still like Bolton. I just like Bolton. Something about Bolton, the catches that he's able to make. Crabtree's able to make some great catches too, but Bolton is my boy, man. He just makes some amazing catches. But those two together, and with Vernon Davis too. And then Gore coming out the backfield, that's a lot to deal with. Kaepernick's scrambling ability, you got two very solid receivers and one of the best tight ends in football. I mean, come on. You got a rock-solid running back. You got a superstar in Kaepernick. Like, he's already a superstar. He took his team to the Super Bowl in his rookie year. Get out of here. Get out of here. In his rookie year, you kidding me? And now he's got a chance to go back to the Super Bowl again. He won the team for his game. I mean, I think the 49ers can beat Carolina. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Carolina, no one expected them to be as good as they are this year. They had a first-round bye. We've seen what happened with a lot of teams that are inexperienced as a team in the playoffs. Get a first-round bye and lose their home opener. We've seen it time and time and time again. Denver last year was a prime example. They were 13-3 last year. They were on a crazy winning streak. Peyton lost against us early in the year. Peyton Manning was lighting it up just like he is this year. And then Baltimore comes into Denver and win in double overtime. After that first-round bye, nobody expected Denver to be that good as they were. Good, but not that good. Just like nobody expected Carolina to be this good. This is another one of those 2012 Denver Broncos scenarios looking like. And, man, the 49ers are the team that can go anywhere and win. Like, they're a good team. They showed they can win on the road. They just did it in Green Bay. And it's hard to win in the playoffs in Lambeau.
I
don't know, man. I can't even call it, y'all. That's the crazy part. Like, I can't even call it, but if I had to choose, I got to go with the 49ers. You know what? No, I got to go with the 49ers. The experience, they were just in the Super Bowl last year. They're very well coached. I know Carolina has been balling, and Carolina beat the 49ers earlier in the year. Not that long ago, actually. Kind of mid-season towards the end, I think. And I think they were in San Francisco. I think San Francisco returns that favor and wins. But if Carolina wins, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm picking San Francisco. I'm picking San Francisco. They got so many weapons on offense and defense.
It's going to be a defensive game. It's going to be
a
real
big surprise. Two great defenses.
Yeah. Who's going to let up? Who's going to let up, take their foot off the pedal, and let the other team make a play?
I'm going to go with experience.
We shall see.
I
got to
go with experience. I'm picking the 49ers, and I don't even feel like, I mean, like I said, it wouldn't surprise me if the Panthers won because they're such a great defensive team. And Newton, when he shows signs of greatness, and if he can do that throughout the game, they probably will win. But that 49ers defense is to not be questioned. And we know what Kaepernick can do. It's like it's a great matchup. The quarterbacks remind me of each other. But if I had to pick between Newton and Kaepernick, I had to pick Kaepernick. I mean, he did it last year. He already showed he can do it. We don't know what Cam Newton is going to do in the playoffs. We don't know.
Right. Maybe we'll find out.
Oh, we're definitely about to find out, man. We are definitely about to find out. So I'm rocking Niners, and Big Rand, you going with the Panthers?
I'm really not sure yet, man. I think it's going to be a very defensive game. If I had to pick right now, I would go for the 49ers, just showing, let's see that they're coming on at the right time.
Exactly.
They look very dangerous right now. Kaepernick looks clutch. He's on point. He's poised. He's doing whatever they have to take to win. Like I said, we don't know what the Carolina Panthers have as far as playoff games. You know, I'm last time they were in the playoffs. That's when they were in the Super Bowl going against the Patriots or something. So, I may go with the 49ers right now, but I'll let you know.
Yeah. 49ers. It looks like everybody's going Niners. Mr. Dano, you're picking the Niners based on revenge, but do you think the Niners will really win? If you're not going with your heart and you're going with your mind, would you still pick the 49ers, Mr. Dano?
No, I picked the Carolina Panthers.
So that's all heart he's judging it on. I respect it, though. They beat your boys, so it's going to be interesting. We got the Saints going to Seattle. I think we all are – I think that's a unanimous that we all probably pick Seattle with that one, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's picking Seattle for that in Seattle. We got Indy and – New England, a big run. I know you're going Indy. Mr. Dano, who are you picking out of the Colts and the Patriots?
I'm going with Indy.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Colts.
And you know what? I think I'm going to go with Indy. Like, I would like this, you know, I'm not a Colts fan, but I'm definitely not a Patriots fan either. And they've been in it so many times. Peyton Manning was Colts. To see them get to the AFC Championship, that would be crazy. And there are teams that I dislike, both teams. I'm going to go with Indy. And with, like, the weapons that the Patriots are missing and with the Colts show how they can turn it on and they can come back like that, I think they can go on into New England and win.
Patriots is a good team.
I think they can go
into
New England
and win. The Patriots is a good team. But if Tom Brady go play like they've been playing, and they get behind on Indy, and they're going to destroy them.
I think they
can't go to no halftime.
Point.
They can't go to no halftime being behind, down by no 2 points, and playing Indiana and being playing the Indianapolis coach. They can't do that.
I would agree. And that coach's defense.
It's a saying, if you play with a dog, he's going to look in your face. And if they play around with the coach going to take them.
I would agree. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots win just because of Belichick's experience and his ability of coaching. They got the first round bye. It's either going to help them or hurt them. I'm picking Indy. I wouldn't be surprised if New England won by maybe only a field goal or, you know, it was a real defensive game and Patriots pull it off. Tom Brady game-winning drive for a field goal. That wouldn't surprise me. But I'm confident enough in Indy's ability with overall balance, offense and defense. Andrew Luck, this T.Y. Hilton guy that came out of nowhere and balling out of control. I'm going Indy. 49ers, we all going with the 49ers. though we're all feeling iffy about that because we know that Panthers defense is great. We are picking the Niners for that. And then San Diego and the Broncos. San Diego. I can't say I'm very confident that they're going to win. They shot me in Cincy. And if you would have asked me this a week ago, I'm like, the Chargers don't stand a chance. But now, I'm going to give them a fighting chance. And my heart is with them. Do I really think they'll beat Denver? Probably not. But I'm a take a page from Mr. Daniels' book. I'm going to go with my heart and say San Diego. My heart is with San Diego. But if I had to bet money, I would have no choice but to bet on Denver because the way they've been playing. But my heart is with San Diego. I'm rooting for San Diego. And I think they can win. I think they definitely have a chance. If they could put together a solid defensive performance and hold the Broncos to maybe 30 points or less, I think they can definitely win. Even if the Broncos score more than 30, if Phillip Rivers lights it up like we know he's capable of, they can still have a chance of winning. So they got a chance because they have a quarterback that's good enough to put up numbers, you know. But this is going to be interesting to see. I'm going with San Diego. Big Ran, it's no need in asking you. We know you're going Denver. You bleed. When your heart doesn't bleed blue, it bleeds Peyton Manning. So we know that. We already know that. And Mr. Dano.
It's hard to go against them, man.
I understand. That's your boy. Mr. Dano, Chargers, Broncos.
I'm going with the professor. Peyton Manning. He's the professor.
Yo, you mean the sheriff?
Going with the
he's the sheriff, actually.
I call him the professor because he's
oh, you call him the professor. Okay. Because he operates now. He can't operate.
He's going to operate.
He can't. It's like he's running a laboratory. He's like a wacky scientist or something.
Yep. I call him the mad scientist of the NFL. I'm going with the professor.
I can understand that. Looks like I'm the only one in San Diego. This pool going to be real interesting next year, too, y'all. I can't wait for this pool. We're going to have more people, you know. I want to see how Mr. Dano makes his picks. Like, you know, does he go based on stats, who's the hot team, or does he, like, base it on momentum? Definitely going to be interesting.
Oh, man.
This is a sign of the pool, next year's pool right now. This is a small preview of next year's pool. With that said, man, Mr. Dano, we want to definitely thank you for joining us. NFL Weekly Wrap-Up Wildcard Weekend Edition. We're going to place you on hold as we close out the show, but as always, thank you for joining us. And so, Big Ram, we had a crazy week, man. You know, I knew we was going to have a lot to talk about. You know, if we could sit here and talk for an hour about four games, over an hour, actually, then it's the playoffs, though. What you expect? It's the playoffs. You put some real football heads on the line to say talk about football, we could go for 5-6 hours. Like, that's just how it is. It's football. We football heads, so.
Well,
you know, I really enjoyed Wild Card Weekend, though, Big Ryan.
Me too. I mean, that Colts game, man, I still have goosebumps. It was just a great game. So was the 49ers and Packers game. It was really
shout out to the Colts, man. I'm not a Colts fan, but I got to shout them out, man. That was brilliant. It was brilliant. Way to keep your poise. Way to go, Colts. I told you I'm not a hater, Big Ryan. You see, I'm not a hater. I'm giving your boys credit. You know, but I just want to thank everybody, man. We see the numbers. You know, Week 17, Big Rand, is our second most viewed show.
Oh, okay.
Week 17, you know, we got a lot of, you know, impressive numbers. So people definitely been tuning in. And I want to definitely shout out Ultimate Sports Talk because, you know, ever since that we linked up with Ultimate Sports Talk, we've seen our numbers increase. And we want to definitely shout out the whole Ultimate Sports Talk movement, along with Greg, you know. Shout out to the whole movement. And once again, don't forget to check out NFL Weekly Wrap-Up by logging on to ultimatesportstalk.com. Or you can also hear NFL Weekly Wrap-Up and other shows from It's Real Talk Radio by visiting blogtalkradio.com/TayReal.
No doubt. And always remember to catch the NFL Weekly Wrap-Up live on air by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/TayReal or via phone by dialing 347-838-9540. on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And don't forget to catch NFL Weekly Wrap Up next week. We're going to do the divisional round. The divisional round is coming next week. The wrap up for that is going to be another crazy show. Lots to talk about. Could be a lot of smash mouth, hard hitting action, y'all. Thank you once again for joining us. I'm your host, T-Real.
Your co-host, Dick Rand.
And we are out of here, y'all. Good night.
UltimateSportsTalk.com. Peace.